explain to me what you think is the most notable policy difference between you and your opponent here, the primary.
The biggest difference between myself and my opponent is that she takes special interest money from Exxon, who's not helping us with the environment, from Pfizer, who's not helping us get low drug prices, from Cigna, who's not helping us on the mental health challenges. It's that special interest money. That's where the biggest difference is.
Okay. You both want to replace Ben Cardin, who at this moment is the chair of the Foreign Relations Committee. So, asking a couple questions about foreign relations, foreign policy, do Palestinians or Israelis really want a two-state solution? And if so, what do you think has prevented that from happening? And to what extent can the U.S. government maybe influence peace over there?
Well, we've got to get a two-state solution. That's the only possible right to go. We've also got to support our ally Israel and eliminate Hamas. I mean, we have to eliminate Hamas. At the same time, we've got to get to a ceasefire with the hostages released. That can't happen too soon. I'm the co-chairman of the Abraham Accords Caucus, and we need to begin to rebuild Gaza after that and help give folks there a real chance to have a life.
So there's been a huge wave of protests kind of all across the country because of that issue. It's caused some division within your own party. There are some Democrats who are a lot more supportive of the Palestinian side of things versus the Israeli, vice versa. So where do you sort of stand on these protests, from the tone of what the demonstrators are saying to the tactics they're using? And how should the leaders be responding to that?
I'm a big believer in free speech. That's really important, but the right to protest. But at the same time, we can never allow the protests to erupt into violence, and we cannot let the protests impede others from going about their education, going about their job. That cannot be tolerated.
And so looking ahead to the TikTok issue, it's a very popular app and social media platform used by younger generations. The parent company, though, highly influenced by the Chinese government. So do you think TikTok should be forced to be sold to a company that's not overseen by an adversarial government or be forced to shut down?
Yeah, TikTok has to be sold to a group that is not part of the Chinese government. It allows them a back door into anyone's telephone, phone that's using TikTok. They get a backdoor look, so we absolutely need to sell it. And so otherwise we have Chinese influence all over America.
Maryland's economy has been fairly flat statewide for the last few years. The revenue's not keeping up with the increase in government services. That's caused a lot of budget cuts at the state level. So what can you do to help the state's economy from Capitol Hill?
We got to focus on things that we can really make job growth, and that's bringing home the dollars. I brought home last year the sixth most dollars of any member in the in the entire Democratic Party. That's a big deal, fixing Boys and Girls Clubs, creating centers for addiction control, mental illness centers, you know, really bringing change back and dollars back to our district. But we've got to drive jobs in Maryland. That's key. And we got to make Maryland more friendly to other states, other employers.
I think, you know, we've all seen the polls that suggest that there's a lot of people that are just sort of dissatisfied with the presidential candidates. And I think some of that is probably because of dissatisfaction with this idea that the system's not working for them, that whether it's government, the economy, something is just not working for enough regular Americans. How do you feel about that sentiment?
We need to put people over politics, and that's why I support term limits, 2 terms in the Senate, 6 terms in the House. Stop stockholder trading by members of Congress. Stop members of Congress from becoming lobbyists, and have Supreme Court terms, 18-year terms. Every president gets 2 appointees. We need to make big changes in politics if we want to get people taken care of, and we can't let the same old politics by the same old career politicians continue.
And then just looking at, you expressed a willingness to end the Senate filibuster, I believe. I've read that somewhere. Do you worry, though, that if that happens, some slim GOP majorities would sort of use that precedent to pass laws that you're against, like, you know, a national abortion ban or other progressive gains over the years, rulings and laws that have sort of provided people with more rights and freedom from discrimination, that could then be used to bring those back?
Well, we certainly need to eliminate the filibuster, but at the same time, we've got to work on bipartisanship. And I was ranked the fourth most bipartisan member of Congress last year. We passed 26 bills on mental health and addiction alone, plus Pell Grants for returning citizens to give them jobs. So we can get a lot of stuff done if we work bipartisan, and we can get the 60 votes. And we got 60 votes on every one of those 27 bills that we did.
Why is it such a struggle to get 60 votes for so many other pieces of legislation then, though?
Because folks don't take the time, which we take, I take the time to get to know the other side of the aisle. You need to sit down with the other side and find common ground. We can find common ground on education. We can find it on criminal justice. We can certainly find it on mental health and addiction. We can find it on business issues. But you got to take the time. The average career politician spends 30 to 40% of their time raising money. They don't take the time to get to know the other side of the aisle. And that's what you have to do to get stuff done for America.
And you don't worry that some of those laws that you would be against would end up passing if there was a, you know, a 51, 52 seat majority, like a national abortion ban or something like that?
Well, right now we've got to hold the Senate. And holding the Senate's the key. And I'm the only candidate that's going to beat Larry Hogan. I mean, my district is a Republican plus one district, so I've won in a Republican district. That means I won by 10, so 11% of the voters, all the Democrats plus independents and Republicans, voted with us to win a Republican district.
And that kind of brings me to my last question here, then. Though you have argued throughout this campaign that it's important that a Republican not win this Senate seat. The primary has gotten pretty negative in the internal polls. It's my understanding from talking to people with both campaigns that the internal polls show that this race has gotten really close here in the coming weeks. If Angela wins, how much are you willing to do to help her win in November?
Yeah, we're going to support the Democratic candidate as we move forward. But right now, the polls look excellent. People are responding to our mission of people over politics. They're responding to the fact that we're not taking special interest money. And we have a record, a real record that nobody else has for three terms in Congress of being on a mission. I don't need this job. I'm here on a mission to get stuff done to make America a better place. And education, addiction, mental health, criminal justice, medical research, you name it, those are the things we focus on, and they matter to people.
But if she does win, then you're willing to help campaign for her through November?
We're absolutely going to support the Democratic nominee.